Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Once again, we've got an action-packed show for you today. We're going to catch you up on the latest and the greatest of the world of the automobile. Well, I am in Indianapolis, and right now I will be at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, hopefully where it's not raining. We have rain in the forecast. It's been a rainy couple weeks here in Indiana. Well, today, folks, we've got some sad news. We're going to have to talk about the death of a NASCAR legend and gone way too young. Kyle Busch, age 41, passed away this week, and we'll have a couple different articles talking about that. We have talking about qualifications in Indianapolis, which was rained out. An update on what happened on Monday of this week with regards to some of the qualifiers in practice and an accident. We'll also talk about what's going on with some weird and unusual automotive news about where are the worst drivers in the United States. Of course, we'll talk a little bit about Car Talk, and we'll have some gas prices for you. So you know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on The Car Show. Well, Thursday afternoon, my phone lit up with texts from friends saying, "Did you see? Did you see?" And I had to go on to social media and find out that Kyle Busch passed away. This is from the pages of Racer Magazine, Kyle Busch, 1985. To 2026, and this is an article written by Kelly Crandall. Well, once viewed as NASCAR's wild child, but with talent that could not be denied, Kyle Busch turned that ability into one of the most successful careers the sport has ever seen. Busch died on Thursday after a brief illness. He was 41. In a joint statement from the Busch family and Richard Childress Racing along with NASCAR, it reads the following. Our NASCAR family is heartbroken with the loss of Kyle Busch. A future Hall of Famer, Kyle was a rare talent, one who comes once in a time in a generation. He was fierce. He was passionate. He was immensely skilled. He cared deeply about sports and fans. Throughout his career that spanned over two decades, Kyle set records in National Series wins, won championship in NASCAR's highest level, fostered a next generation of drivers as an owner of a truck series team. His sharp wit and competitive spirit sparked a deep emotional connection with many race fans of every age, creating a proud and loyal rowdy nation. Our thoughts are with Samantha, Brexton, Lennox, Kyle and Sam's parents, Kurt and all of Kyle's family, Richard and Judy Childress and everyone at Childress Racing, his teammates, his friends, his fans. NASCAR has lost a giant in the sport, gone way too soon. During this difficult time, we ask everyone to respect the family's privacy and continue to keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Further updates will be shared as appropriate. Well, Busch is certainly a first ballot NASCAR Hall of Famer. A Cup Series career that spanned over 20 years, Busch won two Cup championships, 2015 and 2019, and a total of 63 Cup races. During his time for driving for Joe Gibbs, Busch seemed untouchable behind the wheel as one of Team Toyota's constant presence at the front of the field. But Busch's records go deeper than that. His name leads the way as the winningest driver in both the Craftsman Truck Series, 69, and the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, 102 wins. Busch also won the 2009 O'Reilly Auto Parts Championship. As a team owner with Kyle Motorsports and the Craftsman Truck Series, he has 7 owner championships, 98 race wins, both records for the series. Now, that legacy was built on a bull ring in Las Vegas. Tom Busch, the father of Kyle and older brother Kurt, instilled in his son's competitive nature with hands-on approaches to building cars and racing their cars. A former driver himself, Kurt followed in Tom's footsteps first and then did Kyle. Kyle, was always busy. You didn't have to get him out to the garage. You had to get him into the house, Busch told NBC Sports in 2019. His brother raced first, so his earliest memories were of us getting his stuff ready. But he's probably a little bit too young for that. But he did work on Kurt's car, probably maybe more than Kurt did. Kurt made it to NASCAR first, but would routinely say that his younger brother was better than him. And for years to come, the rival would play out on track as the brothers raced each other for wins and crashed into each other in the 2007 All-Star Race. They didn't talk for a whole year after that incident. The debut comes first. Kyle Busch made his NASCAR Cup Series national debut at 16 years old in the Truck Series. Jack Roush called him as a replacement driver for Indianapolis in 2001, and then fielded him for 5 more races that season. NASCAR, however, soon changed its age requirements, requiring drivers to be 18 years of age to compete. That sidelined Busch until 2003 when he was signed as a developmental driver for Rick Hendrick. And then running seven O'Reilly races in 2003, Busch exploded onto the scene in 2004, winning five races and a runner-up in the championship as a full-time driver. Hendricks quickly promoted him to the Cup Series in 2005. That partnership netted four wins in the Cup Series and 11 in the O'Reilly Series. He was then released after the 2007 season. Quote, "I thought my career was over because I was getting released by the number one team in the sport," Kyle Busch said on the Graham Benzinger show in 2021. "Who the heck is going to take a chance on a firestorm of emotion like Kyle Busch?" Well, Busch was indeed polarizing. For his many talents and success, he also had a self-destructive tendency when it came to how he handled rivalries when things weren't going smooth. Gibbs wasn't fazed. He heavily recruited Busch and signed him to his organization in 2008 and made it happen. The partnership resulted in more success than anyone could have imagined. Suddenly, the talent that Busch had and had been lauded about was on full display on a weekly basis. It was with Gibbs that Busch won his two Cup Series championships, Crown Jewel Racings of the Coca-Cola 600, the Brickyard 400, and the O'Reilly Auto Parts Championship. Busch won Toyota's first Cup race in 2008. He delivered their first championship in 2015 after recovering from injuries he sustained in the O'Reilly Auto Parts race in Daytona in February of that season. I'm always wary about all time when you start talking about pro sports because there's been many great ones. So I'm leery of that, Gibbs said in a 2019, asked where he would rank Busch among the greats. I do think that Kyle has the unusual ability that some athletes have. Guys that put their helmet on and think, I really think if he won 500 races, it wouldn't change the way he went out. He goes for it every single time he's on the track. He's got determination and drive that's very unusual. And I certainly think you guys will be able to determine where he winds up in history, but it won't be me. I've been here for 28 years, and I would say Kyle has probably a chance to do something great. Now, for the last 4 years, Busch drove for Richard Childress Racing, adding three wins to his resume. Away from the NASCAR track, Busch started racing alongside his son, Brexton, who is the next generation of the Busch family drivers. The two competed against each other for the first time last season in a dirt race. Busch was selected as one of NASCAR's top 75 greatest drivers ever in 2023. Kyle and Samantha were married in 2010. Brexton was born in 2015. And his daughter, Lennox, followed in 2022. Yes, it was a complete shock. I didn't even know he had been having some challenges with his health. And the next thing you know, one of the greatest drivers ever to strap on a helmet and certainly a NASCAR championship or NASCAR champion, Kyle Busch, is gone at the age of 41. This is how big the scope of Kyle Busch's passing. The article I'm reading now is from People Magazine. Racer, I get. People Magazine. This really tells you the impact this man had on the sport. Kyle Busch seen smiling just 2 days before his death in new footage that has been released. Well, Kyle Busch attended the grand opening of an indoor go-karting facility 2 days before his death on Thursday, May 21st. From a video at the opening of the Andretti Indoor Karting and Games location in Durham, North Carolina on May 19th, he has seen the two-time NASCAR Cup Series champ, 41, was smiling and waving to fans. Busch attended, who attended the ribbon-cutting ceremony with his son Brexton, was acknowledged in a speech given by another legendary driver, Mario Andretti, who was at that event as well. Just one day earlier, Busch family celebrated Brexton's 11th birthday on Monday, May 18th. Quote, "Happy birthday, Brexton," Kyle wrote in a social media tribute to his son. "Your mom and I are so proud of who you are turning out to be," the proud dad continued. "You're the best kid on and off the track. You amaze us every day. Keep doing what you're doing, and there's no limit to what you can accomplish. I love you, buddy." Well, it turned out to be in recent weeks, Busch had been battling a lingering respiratory issue. While racing at New York's Watkins Glen International Speedway on Sunday, May the 10th, the two-time NASCAR champ radioed to his team that he needed a doctor. Busch was heard asking his team to have the doctor meet him at his bus in the garage area. Quote, can someone find Bill Heisel? He's the Kindred doctor guy. Tell him I need to see him after the race, please, Bush said, adding, I'm going to need a shot. Well, the announcer during the broadcast said that Bush had been battling a sinus cold and that the track's elevation changes and consequential intense G-forces could be exacerbating Bush's symptoms. Well, 5 days later, the Las Vegas native went on to win his 69th NASCAR truck race in the 2026 EcoSave 200 at Dover Motor Speedway in Dover, Delaware on May 15th. He explained to the reporters he was still having some symptoms in a video that was shared on Athletic by Jeff Gluck. I'm still not great, he said. The cough has had was pretty substantial last week. Well, one day after that last appearance, Bush collapsed inside the Chevy racing simulator in Concord, North Carolina. Associated Press reported, citing sources, Bush was preparing for this weekend's NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race that was held on Friday the 22nd, and then for the Coca-Cola 600 on the 24th. Bush was transported to the hospital where he died on Thursday. Earlier in the day, the family announced that he was battling a severe illness and was undergoing treatment that would preclude him from racing this weekend. So we still don't know the entire story, but at least we know now that he had been battling some kind of lingering respiratory illness and collapsed running in the test simulator for Chevrolet and was taken to the hospital and passed away. So incredible to think that that Rowdy, that was his nickname, Rowdy, Kyle Busch, age 41, is gone. There'll be more things to talk about in the weeks to come, and we're sorry to see you go, Kyle. You were a generational talent, and thank you for everything you did. Talk a little additional NASCAR news. Denny Hamlin wins the All-Star race at Dover and won $1 million for his hard work. He was it's the second time that he has won this race. Denny Hamlin wins. Chase Briscoe finishes in second. Eric Jones in third. Austin Dillon in fourth. Connor Zilich rounded out the top five. A huge weekend for motorsports. Certainly we have two huge races. We have the Indy 500 and we have the Coca-Cola 600. One for IndyCar, one for NASCAR. We also have Formula One racing this weekend. Not in its normal spot. Normally it is in Monaco. So you would have Monaco in the morning, you would have Indy at lunch, and you would have the Coke 600 in the evening. So I'm actually doing my show on Saturday morning, so we do not have the qualifying order for the Coke 600, so I will have all the Coke 600 information for you next weekend. But right now the IndyCar race was scheduled to start, and we're not sure if we're going to get any rain delays. That race is on right now on Fox broadcast, so that's channel 10. The race was scheduled to start at 12:45 local time, which would have been 9:45 Arizona time. Coming up after that is going to be the Formula One race that is on Apple TV, and that is scheduled to start at 4:00 Eastern, which would be 1:00 in Arizona. And then the Coca-Cola 600, and that is going to be on Prime. And that is going to be at 6 p.m. East Coast time. That would be 3:00 in Arizona. So this is the first time that only one of these big three races are not on broadcast TV. It's pretty crazy to think about that. So hopefully you'll find some racing today and enjoy it. And we'll get back to the show. So we had qualifying for the Indy 500, and that was on last Sunday, a week ago, yesterday, and it was fabulous. I was out there with my friends. It was a full day, and they compressed, as I talked earlier, 2 days worth of qualifying into one full day. Then on Monday, they have a practice day just to kind of get the cars set up, and the headline reads, Rossi crashes hard in Indy 500 practice, Award and Grosjean also involved. Well, Alex Rossi spun and backed into the turn two wall on Monday afternoon's practice session, the two-hour practice leading up to the Indy 500. The impact set off a chain of events that damaged three cars in total and served as the first crashes of the event after six straight days of clean running. Rossi, who qualified second in the middle of the front row in his number 20 ECR Chevy, got partially airborne before the car returned to the racing surface and then hit the spinning car of Pato O'Ward, who had lost control attempting to avoid the accident, and then struck Rossi's car with the rear of his number 5 Arrow McLaren Chevrolet. Dale Coyne's Racing's Romain Grosjean spun while trying to avoid the crash and did not get collected in the hitting with Award and Rossi. Award and Grosjean were seen and released by the IndyCar medical staff. Rossi is being transported to a nearby hospital for further evaluation. Quote, "I'm okay. I just feel bad for my car," Award said. "Wrong place, wrong time. Glad Roman's okay. Alex as well. This just sucks." Well, the status of the respective cars and teams to repair them to move to backup cars will be known in coming hours. And this was an article that was actually written on Monday. So let me give you an update on what exactly is going on now. So the situation is that Alexander Rossi did have to have surgery on his one of his fingers and also to his right ankle. In that same situation, he will be going to a backup car. Award, not hurt, but having to go to a backup car as well. And then Romain Grosjean's car was repairable. So two of the three guys had to go to backup cars, and one driver got to repair his current car and will be in the 500. Well, Friday was Carb Day, which is the official last test for the Indy 500. They tested on Monday, and then they also tested on Friday. And the headline reads, Newgarden leads Rasmussen in the final Indy 500 practice. Well, setting that ultimate lap speed is never the purpose of the final practice at the Indy for the Indy 500, but two-time Indy 500 winner Joseph Newgarden doubtlessly took some heart-topping speed at 228.3 of his 11th of 55 laps that he ran. Most of the quick laps came earlier in the session as the majority of the track time was running in packs, fine-tuning their cars for running in dirty air, trying out pit stop strategies, giving their crews a chance to practice hot pits during this practice session. The importance of the task can't be emphasized more. The only yellow flag was caused by Marcus Ericsson, who was sent out with a loose wheel and had to limp back in. Now, ECR's driver Christian Rasmussen was second quick thanks to his 8 of his 49 laps at 227.4 ahead of Penske's David Malukas. Local hero Connor Daly was fourth for Ryan Reinbolt ahead of two-time winner Takuma Sato, who was driving the fourth car for the Ray Hall Letterman, and defending winner Alex Palou rounded out that field. So it was an interesting day. It got rain late in the afternoon, but it was definitely something that was needed for Romain Grosjean, whose car had to be rebuilt, and then certainly for Alexander Rossi and Pato O'Ward, who had to be in backup cars, and they needed to test those cars to make sure that they were good to go for today's running of the 110th Indy 500. This weekend, Catherine Legg is going to be another driver who is going to attempt what is called the double, run the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 in the same day. So let's talk a little bit about the history of this. She's the latest driver, but in 1967, NASCAR driver Cale Yarborough was the first driver to run what at that time was called the World 600 in Charlotte and Indianapolis in the same year. They were held on separate days at that time. 1968, the two races were 4 days apart, and Jerry Grant went for the double as well. In 1969, the World 600 was held on the 25th, while the Indy 500 was on a different day. Leroy Yarborough tried the double duty as well, but he had no luck in that situation, not being able to qualify the car at the Indy 500. All right, let's move on to 1976. Janet Guthrie failed to qualify for the Indy 500, but did pass her rookie test, and then she went on to Charlotte that same year and finished in 15th. 1994, so a big gap, 76 to 94. John Andretti became the first driver to complete the marathon on the same day, qualifying 10th in his AJ Foyt Lola Cosworth, finished in the same place, then went straight to a waiting helicopter, competing in the Coke 600, and at that time he qualified 9th. And missed the pre-race briefing, and he was forced to start from the back. At half distance, his Chevy expired. 1997, Robbie Gordon jumps into the game with Felix Sabata's team, and their similar plans switch from IndyCar to NASCAR full-time, but the Indy 500 was rained out on Sunday, Memorial Day weekend. Robbie headed to Charlotte first, where he crashed on lap 186, and then flew back and ended up finishing third, was all the way up to third, and then had to be pulled out of the car because there was a fire. Tony Stewart, one of the most versatile drivers since the Foyt Mario Andretti days. First attempted the double in 1999, where he drove the 24th in the 500 and finished ninth in the 500. Drove from 24th to finish ninth in the 500 before rejoining Joe Gibbs Racing's team in Charlotte, finishing in fourth in the Coca-Cola 600. And Tony Stewart's the only driver to complete all 1,100 miles. Robbie Gordon would attempt to do it again in 2000. Tony Stewart once again in 2021. 22, Robbie Gordon did it again. 23, Robbie Gordon one more time. 24, Robbie Gordon attempts once again. And then in 2014, we have Kurt Busch, which is the older brother of Kyle Busch. He actually finished fourth in the Indy 500. And then in 2025, Kyle Busch attempted to do the race as he crashed out in Indy in 18th and then started from 19th and started second, but a spin later ruined his car. So those are the guys that have, guys and gals, have done this race in sequential order, some on the same days, some missing one race, some missing the other race. But right now, Catherine Legg is going to attempt to do that again, to run the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600 all in the same day. Right now, the big concern is that there is lots of weather out there that is going to impact possibly Charlotte and Indianapolis. And I'll have that news for you next weekend. Well, from the weird and unusual automotive news, this state has the most road rage report, according to survey. Well, according to the 2025 Vacation Travel Survey, more than 75% of Americans responded said they plan to take a road trip this summer. After all, it's a time-honored tradition. Anyone hitting the open road needs to know that something else. Some drivers aren't nice, especially in certain states. In May of 25, Consumer Reports released its list of states with the worst road rage, giving would-be road trippers heads up where they should be cautious. Now, identified the states with the worst road rage by analyzing data on fatal crashes involving careless and reckless drivers, violation for dangerous driving, traffic accidents involving gun violence, and the report stated about its methodology. Looking at the data, it named Louisiana as the state with the highest amount of road rage, a dishonor that has received now for 2 years in a row. What's interesting now is we find out that New Mexico took the number two spot. Not because of its competitively high traffic rate involving gun violence, but it has four times the national average. Unfortunately, we've also seen signs that align with the state's gun violence rate. Every town for gun safety, a gun violence prevention group, notes that New Mexico gun violence rate is more than double the national average. And number three, well, it's Colorado. Then followed by Arkansas and Montana rounded out the top five. And Maine was named the comma state for driving. And you can find that full list on consumeraffairs.com. Well, it's time to talk gas prices with our friends over at AAA. Right now, the national gas average is $4.52. Right now, the average gas price in Arizona is $4.79. Utah, $4.66. Colorado, $4.69. New Mexico, $4.41. Nevada, $5.25. California, $6.15. And then heading to the east, Texas at $4.05. Oklahoma at $4.04. Missouri at $4.17. And of course, here in the great state of Indiana, average gas price, $3.96. And I believe the Indiana governor has pulled back the taxes right now on gas. So that's why Indiana gas is cheaper. All right, let's find out what's going on in Arizona with our gas prices. Well, if you live in Littlefield, Arizona, you have the cheapest gas, the TA Express, at $3.96 a gallon. The Maverick station in Littlefield is also at $4.13. The Arco station on Speedway Boulevard in Tucson at $4.25. The Chevron station in Bullhead City at $4.25 as well. And the Love's Travel Stop in Eloy at $4.29. All right, in the Valley, the least expensive gas is at the Marathon station on Apache Trail at $4.29 cash. Sam's Club in Gilbert and Tempe at $4.34. The Walmart on Baseline is at $4.35. The Costco on 33rd Avenue is at $4.39, and the Costco in Gilbert at $4.39 as well. So gas is very expensive still in Arizona. Well, it's time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, I have a snowbird question. We don't want to drive back up to Michigan from Florida later this spring, so we're thinking about leaving our 2022 Toyota RAV4 plug-in hybrid in the garage for 6 months. Should we arrange to have someone drive it periodically, or can we just leave it? In either case, how full should the gas tank be? What levels should the electric battery be charged at when not using actively? And that's from Scott. Well, the fuel is a little bit relatively unimportant, Scott. Gasoline won't degrade in 6 months. Well, that really doesn't matter. For the traction battery, you'll need it to run it down to 0 miles. That's what Toyota recommends for long-term storage. When your RAV gets to zero EV miles remaining, switch it to the normal hybrid vehicle mode, or HV. And even with 0 miles available in the EV mode, the big battery maintains a reserve charge of 15 to 20% for hybrid operation. Toyota says that's the ideal battery chemistry for long-term storage and stability. Now, the bigger question, Scott, is your 12-volt starter battery. And that's much more likely to cause you to be stranded when you get back to Florida next winter. So one option is just to disconnect the negative terminal of the battery, or you could leave the battery connected and set up what's called a trickle charger, or better known as a battery tender, to keep the battery charged while you're gone. Now, I suppose you could just let that battery run down over summer and then have a 12-volt battery charger on standby to throw on when you arrive, but that could delay your crucial first trip outside the house, you know, the one for the mojito makings run. My biggest concern of all, Scott, is mice. So in addition to that, you might want to leave a cat in your garage too. Good luck. Yeah, that's interesting he mentions mice. We do definitely have a rodent issue in Arizona with chewing on car wiring. And there's all sorts of things you can do. Leave the hood propped open. Some people put a little flashing light in there to distract them. I was a little surprised he said after 6 months he wouldn't worry about the fuel being degraded. I would probably throw in what's called, now of course I can't think of the name of the product. It is designed to help keep the fuel stable, and it's called Stabil. I finally remembered it. So that's something you can put in there. And I definitely love the idea of the trickle charger. I use those as well for storage of my vehicles. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name is Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday. And you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.